wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Great. And our third reading continues on from where we left off in Matthew's account of Jesus' life. But it'd be great if you could open the booklets on your tables, these short booklets of the Gospel of Matthew, and turn to page 4, and I'm going to read for us from the start of chapter 2, which is where the flyers should be for you. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." As Glenn comes, I'm just going to pray for us as we hear from God's word now. God, we thank you so much that what Christmas is all about is something that gives us cause to rejoice exceedingly with great joy. Pray that what we see in this story now will show us that and why that is. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Naomi. Now, Christmas is only 8 days away. Sorry if you're panicking there, you're thinking, "I don't know what to get," and those around me. That's okay, you've got 8 days. You know, you can leave it until the 24th, you're fine. You know, I'm sure it'll be fine around Oxford Street. Not busy at all. Now, you're frantically scrambling online, trying to come up with great presents that show you really care. Now, my wife was worried because she didn't know what to buy me for Christmas. Apparently, it's because I'm too difficult to buy for. I don't know if anyone's ever heard that. You're too difficult to buy for. I don't know what you like, even though you support Manchester United, you love music, and yeah, never mind. But I, on the other hand, not to be bragging or anything, I'm quite humble, but I nail it every year. Let's go back to the first Christmas Lauren, my wife, and I had together. We were only dating for a couple of months at the time. And I got her these things for Christmas. I got her Rumours by Fleetwood Mac on vinyl. Classic album. A bottle of Irish gin. And the empty bottle still remains in our house to this day. Her favourite candle, which is Cyndaval by Ben Rosemary. And her favourite Christmas sweets, which are Quality Street strawberry creams. I got her a whole bag of those. Nailed it. Now, that's nothing though compared to what she bought me. Now, before I tell you what she bought me, let me just give you a little bit of context here. I wasn't well that week. I had something dodgy, and I was suffering with a cold. And so she got me the following items. A pack of lemons. A root of ginger. Peppermint tea. And prebiotic tablets. Now, I'll be honest, that's probably the best gift I've ever been bought. Who says I'm hard to buy for? But what is it that you would like most this Christmas? Some of you may find that really easy to answer. You may want a new smartphone or watch, some diamond jewellery, or a new car. You might prefer to go somewhere instead. A lovely city break, a beach holiday, Anywhere that gives you 5 minutes peace from the children screaming in your ear. But for some of you, that might be harder to answer. Maybe it's peace from the fierce working environment that you feel that you're in. Maybe it's that promotion that you've been slipped out of your grasp and you're doing everything to try and get it back. Or maybe it's something even more outside of those office walls. An opportunity to see a loved one again, to hold their hand, share another memory with them once more. See, Christmas can be a joyful time, but it can also be hard. It reminds us of the pain that's felt as loved ones are missing around the table. The reality that we can't provide everything that we want or even need for those around us, and even ourselves. But in that pain, the hope of Christmas is that God has given us a gift. That gift is his son, Jesus Christ. And the choice that we have, and what we've seen in our passage today, is whether we accept him or we reject him. Just a few moments, I want us to consider what we do with that gift that is Jesus. Do we accept him and worship him as Lord, as King? Or do we reject him and set him apart from our lives? Do away with him. And we see that in this reading with the wise men and also with Herod. The wise men accepted him and Herod rejected him. Those are the two things that we're going to look at here today. So let's think about these wise men. First of all, who were they? Well, they were sorcerers, they were astrologers, they were witch doctors, spiritualists. They were possibly from a far away land. They were nowhere near the ancient, the land of ancient Palestine that we know of today and so familiar to us in our readings. It's safe to say they were not his worshippers of God. And yet through them we see who this baby in the manger is that they come to visit. And this baby's identity is made known to us through the gifts that are bought for him. I don't know how generous you are. Oh, there goes my nose. I don't know how generous you are when it comes to buying gifts for your loved ones. But if you're buying these kind of gifts each Christmas for your friends, then I would really love to get to know you. But these gifts, they're not normal gifts you buy for a baby or even a child, are they? It's not like a box of nappies or some blankets or a sleep suit. But I'm sure too these gifts will be well received. Let's think about it. Gold. It's precious. It's valuable. It's worth its weight in gold. Frankincense. It's a lovely scent that's used in aromatherapy. If you want to buy a kilo of it, it'll cost you 850 quid today in the market. But myrrh. Now, I'm not trying to pronounce that thing that you look in to check your hair every day. Myrrh is an ointment that's used for embalming dead bodies, particularly that of kings. Now just think about that for a second. If you woke up on Christmas Day morning and you went downstairs and you looked under the tree and you saw this massive present wrapped up for you, strangely shaped like a coffin, would you want it? You'd be fine with the gift receipt, wouldn't you? And yet it's in these three gifts that tell us who this child is, who Jesus is, and why he came. He came to be our king, but he also came to die. Take your Matthew's Gospels and turn with me back to chapter 2. You can find it on page 4 there, if you've lost it. And notice how they came to discover who Jesus is in the prophecy that was given to them. And through their deduction and knowledge of the stars, they recognized that someone special was born. A king. And as they investigated who this king is, they were given this prophecy from a man called Micah. And you can see this in verse 6 here on page 5. Look at it with me. Micah the prophet says this, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler, a king, who shall shepherd my people Israel." You see here a king, a child who is a king, who will shepherd, that is to say, like a shepherd would do. He will lead, he will nurture, he will care, he will protect, he will give rest to all those who belong to God. And he will do that by laying down his life in order to save them. Save them from what? Look back at chapter 1, verse 21. You can see it on page 4 there. He will save his people from their sins. He is a good king. He's a great king. He is the king that we need. This is a king who would give his life so we could be free from the pain and burden of this world. Every heartache, every addiction, everything that is broken around us and in us, Jesus came to save us from that and to give us hope. Hope beyond this lifetime and hope beyond the circumstances of this world today. Now that sounds great, doesn't it? But why should we then worship him? I was on a drink with someone who comes along here to Lunch Time Talks just a couple of weeks ago, and they told me that they had a royal appointment with King Charles. Now, if you're like me, and you're maybe a bit ambivalent about who the king of our country is, or why that's a big deal, well, even if we're like that, you know, to hear someone say, I'm having a drink, or I'm meeting King Charles, that's still pretty big, isn't it? It's pretty cool. But I don't think anyone has ever worshipped King Charles before, have they? Now, I lived into this. I do what everybody does when you have this debatable question. You go on Google or you go on ChatGPT, and there's nobody that worships King Charles around the world, but apparently there was someone in the island of Vanuatu who used to worship Prince Philip and thought he was a god. But that's a whole other thing. The point is this. Charles is the king of this country, but we know for a fact that he's not worth worshipping. So what makes this king worth worshipping? This child who was born in a backwater town outside of Jerusalem, a town, Bethlehem, that's known for very little. Well, this is no ordinary child or king. In fact, what we've seen here in our readings, this is God. This is Emmanuel. Emmanuel in chapter 1, verse 23, it means God is with us. This is the king that God sent. He sent his son. He is the king of everything. He is worthy of worship, not only because of who he is, but what he came to do. Jesus came to save us from our sins. He is a gift that's been given to us, so we can accept him, because he is a gift given to us by God. So we can accept this gift, but on the other hand, we can also reject it. Now this sin that I was talking about, this world that we live in, it doesn't just affect the brokenness of this world. It's also the brokenness inside us. This brokenness that I'm talking about is a rebellious state of mind, where we want to reject God and reject his rule and be our own kings and queens instead. I can see some of you wearing crowns that are quite lovely, illustrating that point. Now, just like Herod, who stands at the other side of this passage. Now, Herod says that he wants to worship this child in chapter 2. But we went on to read that Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, is warned to flee because the truth is that Herod seeks to destroy this child. He seeks to destroy Jesus. Herod doesn't want Jesus to be a part of this world. And at Christmas, there are many of us who, if we're really honest, we feel the same way. Jesus came to be born, yes. But why does that matter for me? Why should I care about this? Can't I just be ambivalent about it, like I am with King Charles? Well, I think the Gospel writer Matthew wants us to see that we cannot sit on the fence with this. And that's hard for us to do, because it's easy for us to go through the motions of life. We can easily go to the electoral polls and just vote for who's the most popular vote is that year, the safest vote in our borough. We can not have strong opinions about anything. Just like what everyone else likes, because that's the thing you do. That's my reason for why everyone likes Taylor Swift. But the reason is that it just saves us from thinking too much about these things. But the thing is, when it comes to Jesus, no joking, all joking aside, you cannot sit on the fence here. Either you worship him, you accept him, or you reject him and face the consequences. And to reject him as king means rejecting the hope that he brings. He is God's Son who has come to save us from our sins. That is, every selfish ambition inside of us, every wrong attitude to how we live our lives, every moment when we live without the thought or idea that there is a God who made everything and rules over this world. And instead, we live with the attitude that we are in charge. We are in control of our identities and our lives, and we do what we want and how we live. Just like Herod. We don't want someone greater than Jesus to rule over us, or for us to even worship. Now you might think my wording here is a little strong, but we see here that to reject Jesus is to ignore who he is and why he came. And that's not so different to what Herod wanted to do. And so can I encourage you to see for yourself why Jesus is worth worshipping for yourself? Like the wise men, look at this message for yourself. These Matthew's Gospels, free to take, feel free to read it. It'll take you a couple of hours to read over the Christmas, and let's be honest, in that lull period between Boxing Day and New Year's, you don't know what to do. This is a perfect thing to pick up and look at for yourself. To see for yourself who this king is and why that matters that you should know him. This gospel is full of Jesus' teachings to help us to see why he is worth knowing as our shepherd and our king. He came to give you the greatest gift that you could receive. Yes, it's better than probiotic tablets. Jesus came to save you from your sin, and in doing so, to know your God and your King. There are lots of other ways that you can look into seeing who Jesus is through the Bible, and we here at the More Get Talks want to encourage you to do so. You can come along to our lunchtime talks that happen every Wednesday here, same time, same place. You can join our Explore group. You'll see information for that in your flyers. They meet every Thursday at lunchtime over at St. Paul's about Aldersgate, as we go through John's Gospel together, a biographical account of who Jesus is. And let me just close with this. If you feel like you're not the kind of person that God would want you to know, like you're a total stranger, like just different to him, well, what I would say is you probably couldn't be stranger than these wise men, these magi, these witch doctors, these strangers to this king. And yet they realized through God's word that this king was their king too. So this Christmas, please look into the heart of it all and see who this child is. He is God's king. He is the Lord of all. And he came to die so that you could know God and be saved. This is a gift for you. And it would be foolish to reject it. So please accept it. And see why Jesus is a gift worth treasuring this Christmas. Would you say a quick prayer? And then I'll hand back over to Naomi. Father, we thank you for this Christmas story. We thank you for the great truth in it, that Jesus is the gift that's worth accepting because of who he is and why he came. Father, I pray that we would treasure and value this gift. And Lord, that we would want to not only cherish it, but Lord, own it for ourselves and worship Jesus as our King. Helps to see who he is and why he came. Father, thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.